Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
Guest from the Walter Elwood Museum of the Mohawk Valley of Amsterdam, looking for a home. Hope they found a home, which would be some of the buildings owned by the Noteworthy Corporation, the former Sanford Carpet Mill buildings on Church Street in Amsterdam. And we've been talking about the sale of some of their duplicate items, or whatever you want to, however you wanted to account for it, over the past few years when they made their previous move from the school on Guy Park Avenue to the Guy Park Manor down by the river, which was flooded out last year. You certainly have quite a history. Ann Piccone and Bob Going are here. It's been quite a year, Ann. It's hard to believe it's not quite a year yet since the flood, right?
Yeah. That was. Is Ann still here?
I don't know.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
Now,
yeah. I remember going down at 1 o'clock in the morning to check out the museum as the floodwaters were rising, because somebody had put on Facebook that the museum was on fire, and I live probably the closest of the board members, so I went right down there one in the morning, and the museum wasn't on fire. It was one of those thousand crazy rumors that started, like our artifacts were floating down the river in the tractor trailer. None of that happened. Anyway, so I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, it looks like the waters has peaked, you know. So I went home, you know. Mm-hmm. Next morning I go down there, Ann's standing in the parking lot, and the Victorian room is gone at that mm-hmm. point. And she and I were, and my wife were looking at it, and I said, Ann, I think I just saw the other side of the river, and there's no window there. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, we obviously the river was flooded, and we couldn't do anything other than go across the river, walk the bike path for a mile or so, and then get a look at the building from the other side. And the riverside was all gone.
We got some great pictures that day.
We did get some great pictures. Terrific. And then all our on the second floor, all of our old photographs and scrapbooks and stuff were in the room that was now just hanging over the edge. And it looked like it could go any minute. And all these old slides, and we have glass slide collection from the 1920s going back to the 19th century.
It was amazing, Bob, that after all those days, after Irene and then Lee and then waiting to get access because it basically was a disaster zone.
We didn't get in for 3 weeks.
It's amazing that everything, that room just stayed just perfectly fine.
Huh.
Just hung there and just waited.
Yeah. I tried breaking in and sneaking up there to get that stuff out of there, but we got caught. Right, Ann?
Yes, we got caught from the parks police. Let me tell you, those parks police.
They were tough.
You don't want to mess around with the parks
police. Don't mess with the parks
police. No, I won't. I won't.
So, Bob and I met parks police firsthand.
I bet you did. Now, so right now, the artifacts you preserve, or, you know, the ones that you saved from the flood, they're located still at Fusillos.
Right.
Is that true?
Everything is at Fusillos. And you know what? I want to, like, dispel a lot of people's fears. I mean, yes, the Victorian room was lost.
Pretty much entirely.
Majority of the bronzes we still have, many of the pieces of art that were on the walls we still have. Many people saw that for days as they drove by, the art just hanging there in the open pink room. All that was retrieved. But that room, and also I would say a very, very, very small percentage of the industrial room, and some objects in the basement, but not all, because many objects in the basement miraculously were saved or preserved by the mud.
Huh.
So that's really all that we lost, truly. We lost display cases in the foyer, some objects in the display cases. Wouldn't you say, Bob, the large majority
The vast
of
majority of the stuff
have.
Was saved, and it was incredible, really. Fortunately, everything upstairs was dry as a bone. It was like nothing happened. In fact, everything above the flood line hanging on the wall, you'd think nothing had happened when you look at there. Total disaster underneath the flood
line. But you had to take it out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did it all in one day, pretty much, too.
We did everything in just a matter of a few days.
Yeah.
It was all done by volunteers. There was no moving expense. We didn't pay movers.
Yeah.
Now, another point that came up in the story that the hardworking Jarrett Carroll did for the Recorder was that you have offered, this Ann Piccone, to take a pay cut?
Well, what ended up happening was we found out in September that the federal government, Department of Labor, had approved a employment disaster grant that was specific to Hurricane Irene. And monies were delegated to states, and New York was one of the states that received monies. And then it went to New York State, and then the governor's office and the New York State Department of Labor had to figure out how to launch this grant.
Mm-hmm.
And that took a while. So in September, I met with Maria Abraham from the Department of Labor, a wonderful gal, has become my friend. She discussed it and asked us if we wanted to be part of it, because it was open to municipalities and counties and villages and non-for-profits. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh my gosh, this would be perfect, because, I mean, this will take us forever to do with volunteers, and plus it employs people.
Mm-hmm.
So what a wonderful thing. So we waited and waited and waited, and a lot of counties and villages and municipalities chose not to participate or quit, so to speak, because it took so long. It launched on February 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was fortunate enough that I had a few people. The people, in order to be eligible to work for this grant, and we have three laborers and one bookkeeper, we're still trying to fill the bookkeeper's position. In order to be eligible, you have to either be, you have to meet certain requirements. So as I find people who I think might be interested or interview people, I send them down to Maria Abraham at Workforce Solutions, and she meets with them and determines whether they're eligible. And unfortunately, several people that I've wanted to hire haven't been eligible.
Mm-hmm.
Like their Social Security number isn't eligible, so to speak. So it's wonderful, because what we have done, and I'm sure you read it in the paper, I hope you did, what we're able to do now is, given this horrible tragedy, we're able to... I mean, we just photographed every piece of art.
Mm.
And the gals who are working on the grant are putting that in our Past Perfect digitization database.
Mm.
So, you know, my goal is, you know, I'm going to leave this museum someday much better off than when I found it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my goal.
Yes,
you know?
She did take a pay cut.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happened to the pay cut?
Oh, what happened to the question? The question was, the grant pays me a small supervisory fee to supervise the workers, which is a nice thing. And that fee that it pays me is about $10,000 less than what I was previously making. So I offered to the board, because obviously I'm fully aware of our financial situation here, and I do not want to use people's donations
mm-hmm.
and restoration
okay,
fund
so you,
donations.
So you offered to take
salary.
That. You offered to take that instead of your salary.
So what I said is, basically, the museum isn't paying in me anymore. I'm being paid until probably the end of August under this employment grant.
Okay, and the board you. Went along with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anything we can do to save money. You better believe it. Yeah, because, you know, let's face it, without having an operating museum, out of sight, out of mind in a lot of cases.
Sure.
We had a pretty good membership drive this year, as you would expect after the flood. But still, we're anxious to get going again, because until we do, the money's not going to flow from the community.
Well, let's hope that you do, and hope that it's on Church Street at the Noteworthy Buildings or somewhere else, if that doesn't work out, but I hope it works out
That'll
for you
work
folks.
Out.
Okay, well, Ann Pocone and Bob Going of the Walter Elwood Museum, I thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for having us on.
You bet.